Proverbs 2, notice verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest, I'm losing my voice, so excuse me. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, notice, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. I want to draw your attention, if you would, to verse number 5. The Bible says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I want to preach this evening on this, the fear and the knowledge of God. Now, if you remember, before we begin in our study this evening, in the first chapter, verse 7 told us this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And here we come to the second chapter, and we find here that if we do something, we will understand the fear of the Lord, and we will find the knowledge of God. Now, those things are two important things, the fear and the knowledge of God. In the first chapter, in the first part of Proverbs 1, we found an introduction to the book of Proverbs. What is this book? Why is this book written? It is written, according to verse 2 down to verse 5, for us to know wisdom and instruction, for us to perceive the words of understanding, for us to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgments, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And so we know what the book of Proverbs will give us. We know what it will do for us. And then he goes on in the chapter to talk about the two necessary ingredients for us to get what we need out of the book of Proverbs. And that is, a young man will hear and a young man will fear. Hearing is the idea of hearkening so that we live out those truths. And the fear of the Lord, we understand that that is the basis by which we do all things in the Christian life. And then he goes on to give us a warning about the influence, the call of the world, the call of the wicked, but also the cry of wisdom. And now we come to chapter number 2, and if you would, he goes on into explaining to us how we begin in this process. How do we go about getting and receiving what we need for our lives? And here, notice verse 5 and verse 9, he says these words, then. So that means, if we do this, and if God does this, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And then in verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Now we find here, I believe, the responsibility that lies at the feet of every individual. God has not given man, or we understand that God hasn't made puppets. God has placed a personal responsibility on every man. God has given man a body in which he can see, in which he can taste, he can feel, he can hear, he can smell. But we also know that within man, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible says there, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so included in the soul of man is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Now I want us to consider, because this is relevant for our study this evening, God has given man a soul, and within the soul is the mind. It is the ability to think. He's given us a will, that's the ability to make decisions, and he has given us emotions, which is the ability to feel emotions. Emotions are not wrong, they're actually wonderful if they're in the proper place. And so we find all those things to be true. And we find here really three things, three truths that we'll discuss this evening. We're going to look at the responsibility that we all have, and then we're going to look at what God does for us. And so we find our responsibility, and we find what God does, and then the Bible says if we fulfill our responsibility, and then we see that God does this, this is what we know will happen. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Is that what we want? I think we should all agree this evening, is this what we want? Do we want to understand the fear of the Lord? Yes. Do we want to find the knowledge of God? Yes. Okay, I'll say that myself. I'll say that for you. Do we want to, as he says, to understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path? We would all say yes. So then we must look at the previous verses and say, okay, how is that possible in our lives? So consider, first of all, as we study our text this evening, the opportunity that must be seized. The opportunity that must be seized. Three times in the first four verses, we find the word if. It is found three times in those first four verses. This speaks of the responsibility of man and of this opportunity that has been freely offered. No one, let me say that again, no one is excluded. But there is a condition placed upon this opportunity. We have an opportunity to know the knowledge of God. We have an opportunity to understand wisdom. We have an opportunity to understand judgment and equity and every good path. We have that opportunity, but there's an if. In other words, the responsibility lays at our feet. Now, I want to please note the action words that are used in those first four verses. He says, and this is the if. If you receive, hide, incline, apply, cry after, lift up your voice, seek and search. Those are the action words that we must do. And so the condition, the responsibility is if you do those things. Now, what are those actions directed towards? Well, they're directed towards His words. In the context, we'll find those to be God's words, His commandments, His wisdom, His understanding, and His knowledge. That is what those actions are directed towards. Those, if you would, those actions, what they're directed towards, in that we're talking about wisdom and understanding and knowledge, those are likened in verse number 4 to silver and treasures. So now that we've established this, I want us to walk through those verses and to consider what is our responsibility. Consider, first of all, the word receive. Notice verse 1, my son, if, so here's the condition. Do you want to know the knowledge of God? Do you want to understand wisdom? Do you want to understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path? If you receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So consider the word first, receive. This is the first step for the individual to make the most of this opportunity. The word receive means to take in, to accept. Or another term that I believe is great to describe that is to bring with you. To bring something with you. The word hide, so in the first verse we have, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. The word hide speaks of someone who is really hiding something in the sense of reserving something or protecting something for himself because he values it. The word literally means to hoard. Someone who hoards a possession cannot bear to see that possession go. In a sense, they cannot live without it. So think about it this way. We are to receive God's words. We are to hide His commandments with us. And so we are to take those things in. We are to accept those things. We are to bring those things inside our heart. And we are to value those as a hoarder values possessions. Take with you the words of God's wisdom and protect God's commandments with a great passion because of the value it brings to your life. Now, you can only take that which you have been given. You see, you can only hide that which you have as a possession. You see, the words receive and hide indicates a decision on the part of the hearer to go beyond a mental acknowledgement. We could liken this to the seed that falls upon the surface of the ground but never penetrates the ground. Jesus talked about that when he describes the different types of heart. He says the seed was sown on the good ground, on the hard ground, by the wayside, or those that was choked by the thorns. And so we look at this and we understand that the idea of receiving and hiding is just go beyond the idea of just the seed falling on the ground and you hearing it and making a mental acknowledgement that you know that truth. The word receive and hide goes beyond that. Would we agree? We understand the value of it, and we bring this with us. We all understand the difference between merely hearing the word and receiving the word. There is a great gulf between the two. One commentator put it this way. He says, the word of God is a vital seed, but it will not germinate unless it is hidden in a softened, receptive heart. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. But then we go beyond the receiving. There's another step. The first one is to receive, to hide. The second one is, notice the word in verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. We have two words there, and that is the word incline your ear and apply thine heart. Incline to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And we come to the second step of our opportunity. The first step is receive and hide. The second step is clearly the application of that which has been received. You see, this is the effort to respond to wisdom and understanding. To incline means to prick up your ears, or particularly means to hearken. Not just that you have that in your possession, but you are willing to live it out. You see, the ear is attentive. It is ready to receive. It is ready to obey. It is ready to live out this wisdom. And we made a distinction between knowledge and wisdom. In other words, wisdom goes beyond knowledge. The idea of receiving and hiding is we have that wisdom and we understand the value of this wisdom. But then we go in the second step. We incline our heart unto wisdom and we apply our hearts to understanding. That means we take the knowledge we have and we use it in the right way. You see, so we are to receive and hide this knowledge, if you would, these commands and those words, but then we are to incline unto wisdom to use the knowledge we receive aright. And then he says, and apply, notice, thine heart to understanding. The word apply simply means, I like this, to bow down. Or to yield to. You see, the heart is ready to bow down to understanding. It is ready to yield to this understanding. Again, let me reiterate. Wisdom refers to a person's ability to make the right choices at the opportune time. The ability and the willingness to use knowledge arises. We must understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge comes in the first verse. If we receive his words and if we hide his commandments in our hearts, but wisdom comes in the second verse, so that thou incline thine heart unto wisdom, and that is the living out of the knowledge that we receive. Knowledge comes before wisdom. Knowledge is the receiving of the truth, while wisdom is the practicing of those truths. If you go with me to Proverbs 15, notice in verse number 1, look at that verse. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Actually, I have the wrong reference here. Let me read you the verse that I have misquoted in my notes there. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. What is it? Verse 2, 15 verse 2. It was one verse off. Okay, there you go. But the mouth of the fool poureth out foolishness. So do you see that? The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. So understand, we looked at the first two steps. The first step is receive my words. Hide God's commandments. Understand the value of the knowledge that God brings. And then go a step further and use the knowledge that God gives you in the right way. And that is wisdom. But then he goes on a third step. Notice, well, let me go on here. We began with an admonition to receive, to hide, to incline, and to apply this. And this is the appeal. And we could say this one is, we could say, is more passive. But then we go on. It is not passive at all, but now we come to the one who must be passionate about knowledge and understanding. He is, notice in verse number 4 and 5, if thou, or verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice to understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. And so again, the first step is receive the knowledge of God. Then is incline your heart, live it out by employing wisdom. But then the third one is cry. Now, I believe that this is the being passionate about the knowledge of God. The word cry, notice, if thou criest after knowledge, is to call it out by name. This is what I want. You see, the Christian life is not some general thing. It is a very specific thing. We're crying out after something specific. It is illustrated in a person inviting his neighbor to join him. It is a desire to associate oneself with the knowledge of God. And boy, don't we need that in our society today? And particularly among Christians, a people who desire and cry out for the knowledge of God, who cry out and say, I want to be associated with the Word of God, with the words that come from God. Now, in the context, we understand that this knowledge he's talking about is the knowledge of God. Notice in verse 5, he says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The word find here, understand, does not mean that it is hiding in a dark place and few people are able to find her. No, no, no. It means that you attain, you acquire that which has been lacking in your life. It hasn't been present in your life, but now it is. He says the words, liftest up thy voice, speaks of a profound desire to receive that which you need. And I believe it's the third step. Notice the first one is receive. So you receive, you hide this knowledge. Then you go a step further, you incline and you apply your heart unto wisdom. And then when you begin doing this, you find something special happening in your life. And you know what you do? You begin craving for more. You start crying out for it. You start desiring more of it. You start lifting up your voice and you become passionate in it. But then there's another step which I believe flows right out of that, and that is verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Notice the word seeks and search. We are now brought to an illustration of the passion of the man who is ready and receptive for the knowledge of God, his wisdom and his understanding. This is the persistence that is needed to receive from the Lord that which we need. Now, it is interesting because he almost likens us and talks about something that the world is involved in, right? Now, if you think about the world, we consider the man seeking for silver and treasures. How does man seek for silver? And how does this man search for treasures? Now, obviously, in our time, there's not really a great push on this aspect. We could refer to that and speak of money and possessions, but there was a time when this was a big thing, particularly in America, when people began to see their gold rush and all those things where people went after those treasures and people went after the silver. This is clearly understood, documented through history, is the testimony of men, women, and families
who have been willing, understand, to forsake their homes, to forsake their families, their comforts, their cultures, and their safety to find precious silver and hidden treasures. People have done that. They've risked their lives. Why? Because they attached great value to it. They did so because they placed a great value upon the silver that they did over their families, over their cultures, over their comforts. They placed greater value on the silver than on their safety. We ask ourselves this question, is that our intensity and passion for the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God? John Phillips said, he said, people wear themselves out to unearth worldly treasures, which they often squander. We should give ourselves to the quest for the eternal treasure, the wisdom that can only be found in the Word of God. Charles Bridges says, yet what miner would be content with the first ore? Would he not search deeper and deeper until he has possessed himself of the whole treasure? Not satisfied with taking away much, but determined to leave nothing? Isn't that what the treasure seeker does? He goes to the mine. He walks in the mine and he begins to find the first piece of gold. What does he do? He seeks for more. He's not satisfied with the little nugget. He wants the whole cave. He wants to turn it upside down. And he's passionate until every ounce of gold has been taken out. And I wonder how many of God's people have the same intensity to know God and to be filled with the wisdom of God. You see, this is the logical, those that receive the words of God and then they begin to apply this wisdom in their lives. They understand now the value of it and they begin to cry out for more. And then they act just like the world would towards a earthly treasure that quickly passes away. They become to the same intensity to the Word of God and to know the truths of God and the knowledge of God. And by the way, God is infinite. You'll never run out. That's the great thing. You see a cave, you can dig it all out and get all the gold out. But when you begin receiving the knowledge of God, there is no end to that. You see, this is the progression that must take place in our lives. Verse 1, we must receive that which is freely given. Verse number 2, we must live out that which is given. Verse number 3, we must cry out for more of that which we need. And number 4, we must earnestly seek as we understand its great value. And so we find number 1, our text, the opportunity that must be seized. But number 2, I want us to consider the originator that will supply. Now, there's two verses that we're going to deal with at the end. That is verse 5 and verse 9. Because as he says those things, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, then verse 5, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. He says in verse number 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. But between those two verses is an addendum, if you would. In verse 6 through 8, he says this, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Now understand here, this is not, as we think in our mind, in the structure of the text, as if, well, when we do this, then we know the knowledge of God, and then God gives us wisdom. We understand. He says, if you do this, it's with the understanding that what we do receive comes from God. That's the point he's making. You see, he says, if you do this, you will find that God has been given it to you all along. That the knowledge that you have and the wisdom that you're exercising is not something you figured out on your own. It is something that God has given you. You remember what Solomon said? What did he want? He was an adult, grown man about to take over the kingdom of Israel, and he would bring the kingdom of Israel to its great height in human history. And then we find that what did he do as the beginning of a king? He says, God, I need wisdom. I am but a child. I know nothing. And how can I rule this great people, your people? And what did he want? The wisdom of God. And so we must always remember that the wisdom that Solomon had was not his own. This book that he penned, as the majority of this book, was not his words. It was not his wisdom. It was not him sitting around a round table with a bunch of men and say, hey, what sounds good? This came from God. He is the originator that will supply. The Lord is the originator of this wisdom and knowledge. This passage indicates that the supply is already guaranteed as long as man will do his part. A failure to have sound wisdom and knowledge is never the Lord's fault. Let me say that again. A failure to have sound wisdom and knowledge is never the Lord's fault. It is always man's opportunity that has been squandered. As we consider the originator that was supply, we consider two things. First of all, his supply. Verse 6 tells us, for the Lord. Notice, it's not an if there. It's for the Lord. Almost we could put it this way, since the Lord we know is doing this. I like that. If you do this, you'll get the knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord. Just because we understand God is doing this. You see, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He, God, layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Now understand those expressions here. The first thing we see is that the Lord giveth wisdom. That's become one of my favorite words in the Bible. God is a giver. He gives. Is that not the pattern of Scripture? Think about it this way. He gave man his creation and entrusted man to care for it. He says, it is yours. He gave man a wife, Eve. Amen. And all married men say? Okay, maybe a few of you are happy with that. He gave man coat of skin after they sinned. He has given man his word. He has given man a redeemer. He has given man, or the believers, the Holy Ghost. He has given the believers eternal life. He has given the believers gifts according to his grace. He has given the believer all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has entrusted believers with his mysteries. God is always giving. And if we do not receive what God wants to give us, it is not God's fault. It is because we have not sought after it. It is because we have not received it. It is because we have not inclined our hearts and sought after it and cried for it. We've squandered that opportunity. The Bible says, because we know the Lord giveth wisdom. That's what he does. The Bible says here, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The expression out of his mouth here, this can only be a reference to the Word of God. Man is to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Word of God is not everything God knows, but it is everything God wants man to know about him and what man needs for life. He goes on to say in verse 7, he says, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. The words layeth up. Interesting is the same Hebrew word that is used in verse 1 for the word hide. We remind ourselves again of the word hide. The word hide speaks of someone who is hiding something, reserving something, protecting something for himself because of its value. The word means literally to hoard. But here is not God holding back something for himself. It is God holding back something for us. He lays it up. It's like a stack already for access. I remember a preacher say, I wonder when we get to heaven, if God is not going to show us a room and open the door and says, that's all the things that I had for your life and you missed it. It's all piled up right there. He's laid it up for us. You see, there is the wisdom of the world and there is the wisdom of the Lord. James speaks of the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish in contrast to the wisdom that is from above. Here, notice an expression that we find in verse number 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Sound wisdom is that which looks properly upon people, upon circumstances, upon actions. The word sound speaks of that which is substantiated or supported. We must beware of the wisdom that is not sound. Guess what? There is a wisdom out there. Remember chapter 1? The wicked call. They're calling. They have their own standard for wisdom. They have their own way of doing things, and it is apart from God. But here there is, here he says, I've laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. You see, everyone follows some kind of wisdom. What we must ask ourselves is this: is it sound wisdom? Is it wisdom according to his word? But notice again, he says he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. The righteous is the person who has received, who has lived out, who is crying after, who is seeking after for the knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord. It's been stacked up and made available, and if we continue in that path, God gives us more. You see, that's how it happens in the Christian life. It's a progression. We get to know a little more about God and his word. We grow, we progress, and then we're like, we want more. You see, that's why we, at least I hope we should keep coming to church. Why? Because we just can't get enough. We can't get enough of God's word. There's so much more. In my younger years, I really had a foolish thought. I thought in college, I started preaching a couple messages. And I thought to myself, man, I'm going to run out of things to preach. And since I've been pastoring, preaching 4 times a week, 4 lives is not enough. That is the wisdom, the depths of the word of God. It never runs out. So we see his supply as we consider the originator, but we also see his satisfaction. He goes on to say, and he says, look, the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes the knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom. But then he transitioned at the middle of verse 7 and says, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. The word, he is a buckler. The word buckler speaks of a shield or a defense to them that walk uprightly. The saint will find that which satisfies the soul when he walks uprightly. He does the first part of the chapter. It is interesting that we are given a military term in the midst of acquiring wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Is that interesting? We're talking about wisdom, the fear of the Lord, understanding, but he gives us a military term here. This should not shock us, for we understand that we are in a battle. The wicked are calling, they have their wisdom, but also we know in chapter 1, wisdom is crying out. Consider the following warnings later in the chapter. Notice in verse 12 what he said. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. Then he says in verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. There's a battle going on. And in this world, there is an enemy who is out to destroy your soul. The strange woman is coming after you. The evil man is coming after you. The wisdom in the world is abounding. And really, in today's society, with all the technology, it is even screaming louder at everyone. And so today, churches that are dropping their services, we have to have more church. We need to read our Bible more. We need to be immersed in the Word of God instead of being consumed with all those other things that, unbeknownst to us, often influence us. Have you ever been to the place in your life when you're sitting there in your home and think, man, we've moved and we haven't even realized it. We've been straying from the Lord and we haven't even realized it. We haven't recognized the influence of the world upon our lives. But the Lord gives us what we need. You see, there is a threat upon your life and you need the help of God. God will be a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He says he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. You see, God not only gives us that knowledge that we need, that understanding, that wisdom, But then within that, he satisfies us. He's already done everything for us. And so we see in this passage the opportunity that must be seized, the originator that will supply, and thirdly, and we're done, the outcome that will satisfy. You see, in verse 5 and verse 9, he has the word then. We know this. If we do this, verse 6, 7, and 8, for the Lord doeth this. That's what he does. That's what he gives. If we do this, we understand the Lord's already doing his thing. He's never stopped. Then, verse 5, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 8, verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And so we find the word then twice in those verses, which reflects the outcome for the man who seizes the opportunity and greatly benefits from the Lord's supply. You see, there's only two conditions that have been placed upon the then. If and when God does it. So see, the failure is never of the Lord. Remember in chapter 1, what did he say about wisdom? Look, let's go back. Let's look at it. Verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate, in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. The Lord gives. And there is one condition placed upon us understanding the fear of the Lord and finding the knowledge of God. And that is us, fulfilling our responsibility. We have an opportunity and we only have one life. That's it. And if there's so much, I mean, can you imagine in the world's eyes, back when people began to settle this country, if they walked into a cave and began to dig for gold, and we would look at this person and say, well, surely he's going to continue to dig for all the gold. Anybody would do that, right? Really, the hunger and the thirst of the flesh of man will never be satisfied until the last drop is found. What do the billionaires say today? What Bill Gates say? When are you going to be satisfied with enough money? He says, I just need to make one more dollar. That's how the world looks at temporal riches. And here we have what God has left for us. And how many times have I squandered the opportunity to receive from the Lord what is freely offered and available at any time, in any place, for me? That places a great responsibility upon us, doesn't it? And may the Lord help us to see that, because we're going to look at the next part of the chapter, how necessary this is for our lives. My wife was sharing with me, she was reading a book about children, and she says, it is interesting that children never misbehave over things they don't want to do. And she said, give me this illustration, she says, I don't think we've ever caught a kid that ran to the back of a shed and says, oh, we got to eat this broccoli so that no one can see us. That will never happen. But what will they do that with? Chocolate chip cookies. Why? Because they don't want broccoli, but they want chocolate chip cookies. What are we longing after? What is it? Look at where you're spending your time, your life, and investing your resources. Where your treasure is, what are the words of Christ? There will your heart be also.
You see, often in our lives we kind of turn because we have to put the blame on somebody else for what we're supposed to be spiritually, right? Somebody did something to us. Somebody said something to us. The pastor said this. My wife said this. My kids are not acting right. Whatever the case may be, we always found somebody else to blame. And often, sometimes we'll even blame the Lord. And the Lord says, it's there already. You are just not doing what you need to be doing. And so may the Lord help us to see that opportunity and to see this is our responsibility. Receive, incline, cry, and seek. Then it's already there. It's already offered and it's free.